Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com.
Here in the studio, testing out Studio A, a little impromptu show here. We're going to do a little wind down. Keep on dancing. I like Chris. He's good to listen to when you're driving in Nevada. I like the state of Nevada, especially in the full moon, when the moon's out and the barren desert turns into something very magical. And you just don't believe it can get that beautiful until you actually see it with your own eyes. You think that during the day it's a dingy, horrible thing to see, and then this beauty comes out that you didn't suspect was there. And so never judge a book by the cover it presents right off the bat. Try to see it in a different light. Anyway, this is your host, John Almada, doing an impromptu soul stream tonight. I was chatting with my friend Gina on Facebook, and I was lamenting the fact that I felt bad because I hadn't been sitting in the microphone, in front of the microphone, and that I missed my friends and missed everybody. And she kind of kicked my butt and said, "Well, get in there and get a show going." And I'm going, "Well, I don't have anything to talk about." And she said, basically, "What's that matter?" You know. So I'm doing a show with absolutely no plan here other than to just take 90 minutes and just have a damn good time. And so if anybody wants to dial in, great. Otherwise, I'm just going to sit here and flap my lips for an hour and 26 minutes. We'll take a break about halfway through, give everybody some potty time and do their thing. So if you want to call in, the number is, here it is. I'm in a new studio, so I'm relearning where everything is. 646-478-0377. Yeah, I have not really been using Studio A all that much for the whole winter, and I had a broken audio cable in here, and I've got it zip-tied. I had to get a zip tie and on the back of my audio compressor system, and I've got it taped together. And so I got that going, and then some other little troubles here and there. One computer, not the broadcast computer, had a bad memory card, so I ripped that out. So I've got one of the two computers I use in here for the show is hanging apart. And it's good to be back, though. A lot going on. A lot of the reason I've been off the air quite a bit and not so regular with the shows has been the continuing deal with my father. And he ended up in the hospital with viral pneumonia, and we really thought he was going to pass. And he came very close, and we got him home here Monday. And the trouble with stroke patients is that they are very they tend to go downhill over time, and that's exactly what's happening with Dad. He's lost he's had some different seizures, and every time you have a seizure, you go through stages where you lose a little more of what you had before. And so he's at a point right now where it's he's very, very mentally confused. And so we have to we're giving him medication and doing what the doctors are saying. But he's decided that I, your host here, am doing something to the power on the, in the house, and that I am the guy that's causing his problems. So I find myself in a weird position. You know, I love my father, but I kind of have to stay away from him a bit because he's a bit over the top right now. So it's been an interesting time here, and that's why I have been not so regular with things. And I really miss I've just missed the show terribly. So it's been weird is I have not seen all the stuff going on Blog Talk. There has been a lot of changes. I was surprised to see some of the new formats and things that are going on. Sherry Storn says, I'm the lady, see your little flag in that telemetry thing. You called me Sherry, but it's Jerry. Okay, Jerry. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, it's been, you're right, age and illness upset their minds. It really is something to see, what happens to people's minds when this kind of thing starts to go on. And it's been very surprising to see him fixate on this this whole notion that I'm causing a problem with electricity. And he comes up to me and says, you know what you've done. And I'm like going, what have I done? And Alan says he can't hear anything. I'm hoping everybody can hear. I think that Sherry definitely can hear. Alan, I'm going to type to try to have him reload. Let me see if that reload the page. Ellen, and I hope he can get that. So I'm dialed in. I hope I'm still dialed in. I'm just going to double check. Yes, it appears I've got good connectivity. So I think we've got Alan is having his difficulties, and we'll see if he can get reloaded and hear me. Again, the number is 646-478-0377. I am going to make my best attempt at readings, although it has been an interesting time for this guy here. And so I'm going to do my best. But, I'm also going to talk about some of the other things that have been going on in addition to the whole bit with, illnesses and parents and things like that. Log out and come back in, Alan, or make sure your volume is not messing with you. Oh, yeah, I see. And so anyway, I have been, in order just to get, kind of keep my sanity with all of this, I've been out metal detecting. I got into this after my surgery in December, and I bought MineLab metal detectors. It's, my opinion, it's after the research I did, it's one of the better brands. It was between that and White's metal detectors, but I bought an Explorer SE Pro, and I got a used MineLab Colt, some Musketeer Colt model, and really got to like them both. But I've been really had my eye on beach, working on the beach and diving. And one of our planned missions from a paranormal sense this year is when things get a little bit easier in the summer for me to get out and do one of these missions. We're going to go out and do some underwater EVP work. And I'd like to go to a place with, where a shipwreck has occurred or something like that. And not only do the EVP work, but come back and go back down and dive in there and take this new detector I just ordered 2 days ago. And I just checked before the show, and it's in the warehouse. The order has been shipped to the warehouse, and it's ready to go out tomorrow, so I'm going to be tracking it. But I bought what's called a MineLab Excalibur, Excalibur 2, and this thing is going to be great. It goes down 200 feet. It's quite simply the best underwater detector you can get, save for getting some specialty model built, with military-grade electronics and things like that. So, yeah, Alan, I am looking at underwater EVP, and I'm not the first to do it. That's, I'm not going to run around and make a bunch of claims. There's actually been some underwater EVP done at, I believe, the wreck of the Titanic. And there's a group out of Florida that was doing some work with this. I saw a story 2 years ago. But I have an underwater housing that I can actually use, and I'm going to take a couple of Bermuda Triangle, right? After the luck I've had this year, I don't think I'm doing that. But I am going to be, doing some experiments with this and just trying it for ourselves to see what we can get, down under the water. So we'll be using this underwater housing. It's got it's just basically a big can that we're going to, that's waterproof. We'll mount the EVP recorder in there. And I already have an underwater camera. I'm already set with that. It's not the best in the world, but it has an SD card, and it will be able to go down quite a ways. So I'm going to be the mission parameters that we've already set in place is going to be 20 to 40 feet down. I'm going to be looking at scuba, getting my scuba certification. So I've got a little work to do before this all can happen. But I'm going to be doing this stuff, and it's kind of just opening up a whole new chapter in life, because I like the treasure hunting and I like all that stuff. It's a lot of fun, and I just totally, it gets my mind off all the things that are going on here at the house. But I think I can mix it in rather, in a rather neat way with what we've got going on with the EVPs and the paranormal. And the thing is there's a lot of overlap between the two subjects. And my friend Spencer Hughes, who's the case manager for GRI, him and I have been talking extensively about this, because we kind of hit a wall with the paranormal, with doing the same kinds of missions over and over again, and we decided let's try something new to mix things up a little. And this really appealed to us, because we just kept showing up. I'd be going to these places, and I'd run into people that were doing treasure hunting, and they were talking about these different things. And then when I got sick, my doctor recommended it, and it was like, why not? I'll give it a whirl. And when I did, the next thing you knew, it was like, wow, this is a lot of fun. And the things I've found so far, I'm really surprised. I have found jewelry. I found what I believe is a piece of titanium with my company's logo on it in the middle of a field in Placerville on a Sunday morning. Where else would you, and who else but me, to find this with a company I've been around my entire life, find this piece of metal in a middle school sports field? I mean, give me a break. It's weird. But I found rings. Lots and lots of coins, and I'm very interested in finding silver, and of course a little bit of gold wouldn't hurt. But I'm also interested in finding haunted sites and being able to dig up relics that are related to the haunt, and to see what happens when we do that, and to do it in a respectful way, not to go in and just pillage a place, but maybe dig up the something that the people that let us hunt there don't know about, and then hand it to them and say, here's what we have here, and do a it's your ring. Yeah, right, Sherry. it's your ring. I'll send it to you, one of the many I have. All of them are your ring. But anyway, I think the format would be to dig up some of these things that may be related to a particular haunt, and see what happens on EVP when spirits are, in the area. And we really had a lot of back and forth about it, because we're trying to understand, is it going to be something that really ticks them off? Or are we going to do something, that will bring a little light to them, and maybe it'll answer some questions about the things that happened to them? So we're looking at how to structure the cases around this kind of a new angle on the whole thing. And, Spence is, really excited about it, and so am I. So we're going to continue forward with this. And it's funny, our team kind of split apart, and we figured it was kind of all over for GRI for a while. And one of my team members moved back east, and now she's, oddly enough, she's back. So we're going to be getting the band is getting back together. The band is back. So, and we'll be doing also some travel down to, in the latter part of the year, down to Arizona again. I'm really in love with Arizona. And we'll be spending some time there. Oh, yeah, the new angle, Mystic. The new angle is this whole thing with the metal detecting and mixing it in with spirits and seeing what the spirits think of things that we would dig up from potentially haunted locations. So we're going to do it in a very, very respectful way. We've already kind of determined that, we're going to also do the underwater EVP. Yeah, so we're going to try some new things, and it's going to be I've kind of been leaning in this direction for a while, a more physical brand of investigation, really getting out there and really doing things that you don't just see on TV. You know, it's going to be something that's, much more outdoorsy. And we've always been kind of an outdoors group, but we're really going to take it to the next dimension and really take it kind of in a new way. So, we're not trying to be TAPS. We've been down that road, and we've had a good run with a lot of fun investigation. We'll keep doing the regular type stuff, but these are the special ones that if we can come up with a kind of a new take on things, it'll open up some of their areas, I think, that maybe people haven't explored. And not only that, it'll just be a whole lot of fun. And that's, a lot of the reason we're in here. I'm a terrible show host here today. I have not read off all the people who are here. Very good friends of mine. I've got Alan from Ghost Hunters Incorporated is here. Cherry's Thorn is here, and she is wanting her ring back that I supposedly found. And we have Daniel Adam. He's my chief engineer here aboard Discovery, and he lit the engines in the back that got us going here. Frank is here. With his Big Apple. Good to see you, Frank, and hope everything's going good for you, my friend. Good to see you. We have a couple of guests out there, 36244 and 36253. You're from France. And let's see, Holistic Life Designs, how are you? Good to see you with your birthday cake. You always have that cake. Yeah, that's cool. And Mystic has the same darn Mars thing I do, so good to see you, Mystic. And so, that's the kind of stuff going on. Let me see if we got any people calling in. No, we do not. So I am going to just keep chatting away because we really didn't have a show plan. I just needed to get out and get back on the air and talk because I'll tell you, I don't know how many of you are show hosts, but I got to tell you, it gets in your blood when you do this. And when it's kind of taken from you because of life circumstances, it really weighs on you. I would go by my studios, and I have two of them, the main studio and then the reserve one. And I just haven't been able to get out because we've been dealing with Dad, and it was just always a trip to the hospital, and you just could not plan shows. So I finally had to let all my guests that I had lined up, could just tell them I can't do the shows. We've got this problem going on. So it has been really something else just to suddenly realize, you know what, I can get back to doing ad hoc shows and just fly by the seat of my pants. But it feels good to be back in here. And it's warm weather. I'm just loving it. When you go out right now, it's just absolutely classic California, beautiful weather, the best ever. Cherry says she's like learning a lot about chakras and see a lot of green around me today. The reason you saw a lot of green around me, it's funny, I was just thinking green, was because I was in it. I was actually out in a field investigating for treasure with my mind lab and did not get much. It was actually pretty well hunted out. I found a couple of scallywags had been there ahead of me and had cleaned out the place. But so now I know that's one on my list not to go to. But I'm having a ball with this stuff. But what I'm finding is that, like our Navy investigation we'd like to do, we've been looking at it through on satellite photographs, and it looks like it's going to be a great place to hunt also and see if we can pull up some coins and maybe some relics from the time that Navy hospital was actually operating. So we're going to do a couple of test runs with this when we actually get back out and do an investigation. We're going to check this out and see how this concept works and definitely broadcast it and let everybody know what we find and take it to the next step. let's see. Cherry is saying she's so psychic, and she's you talk about chakras, and I take it all of you out there know what these things are. They're kind of an energy field of the body, and they all they line up kind of in a straight line. Although those are the main ones that go mainly up from your private parts, all the way up to the top of your head. But there are also smaller chakras that all around the joints of the body. There's many more than just what the books all talk about. And if you ever want to read and some interesting stuff on it, go look at Barbara Brennan's books on, I think, Hands of Light and other things like that. And it really has an awful lot about the bioenergetic fields of the body. And, we are an electrical organism, and that's what all of life is. It has an electrical charge to it that is a self-sustaining field. And so it's not just the chemistry. It's not just the chemicals that make us what we are, although science would like to, focus on that. But it's being much more, the much more interesting part of it is the field which makes all of the rest of that chemical stuff possible. And that's why we have auras. That's why we have all these things about us that, people say they see colors around people. It's because they are seeing, different modulations of the energy field around the body. And it's just amazing stuff. And so, it's very spiritual, no doubt, but there's also a scientific bent to it. And it's just neat stuff. And it's funny, and not just bodies have this, but everything seems to have these emanations. And especially, when we talk about going into haunted places and getting the feel of it and putting our hands on walls and getting a sense of, for those of us that do psychometry, getting a sense of that, it's the, especially with rock, and quartz and crystals and things like that, when you touch them and they kind of play back things for you, that's a kind of a memory unit, and it has its own emanations, and these things can be detected. And there's been interesting, I can't remember the group that did this, but it was really interesting that they were able to pump energy into an area. They figured out, they came up with a theory as to how this all could work. They pumped energy into a room that had been known for having all sorts of not intelligent haunts, but just playback type hauntings, and ran EVP recorders and picked up amazing stuff. And it was like a light switch. Once they kicked on the energy, this stuff started playing like crazy, and they were getting all kinds of interesting phenomena. So, I know I kind of went off the deep end there, but there's a lot that, people, when we talk about things like chakras and things like that, and it sounds also new age, there's also the science behind it. And as a scientist myself, I look at both sides of the equation, and I see generally down the middle, that this stuff is actually based on not just supernatural, but it's naturally super. And there's a lot of neat things out there to discover that science is just now starting to kind of wake up to what the mystics have known forever. And so that's, when we see spirits out there in the field, when we have these experiences, it's amazing, because really all it is just a spirit with, it's just the electrical field of the body existing independent of a body, and it just goes on. That's what I believe the soul to be. And so now Shava is sitting there. Alan is putting up his links. Ghost Centers Incorporated is one of they're a great friend of GRI, and we are going to one day hunt together. The distance between us is in miles, but our philosophies are very similar. But Alan is one of the, I think, if not the founder, one of the founders of Ghost Centers Incorporated, and he's the leader of it now. His links are www.ghosthuntersinc.net, and he's also got a YouTube channel with all their videos. These guys do some amazing work. www.youtube.com/ghosthuntersinc is their video channel. And Ellen had it to UowTube. And he has another website. Their case files is ghicasefiles.ucoz.net. So these guys are kind of the bleeding edge of what we do, and they get some really interesting evidence. And Scott Wise, his I think it's his case manager, but correct me if I'm wrong, Alan. But Scott Wise, his beer making friend, is also a great investigator and has gotten some amazing audio evidence. And we've played that on a couple of shows here in the recent past. And they just do some neat stuff. And I'm proud to have them as friends. And it's always good when I do one of these impromptus. One of them always shows up. It's like they're lurking out there like sharks or something, you know. But they are out in Pennsylvania and really want me to get out there. Yeah, he's founder and director. There it is. Okay, and yeah, Scott's lead investigator. But, you know, I like the idea of director. You know, doesn't that sound great? You just point and direct people. The trick is getting them to follow what you're directing. That takes a little bit more of a skill set. But I think Alan has that. He's been able to do this for, Alan, what have you been at it? 25, 27 years, something like that? Because you've been at it a long time. I mean, these guys were around doing this before anybody knew, you know, what, you know, paranormal investigation was really about. Ghostbusters kind of, you know, broke the ice for people with a little bit of an intro to it, but it was such a, you know, tongue-in-cheek thing. But back then, you know, the things that they were doing, you know, Alan talked about it on one of the shows. They were using cassette tapes and compasses and flour. I mean, and I've thought about that. I've thought about one of the things is to actually make my team take them out and make them give me all their equipment, and we hunt with that old stuff. To actually make somebody use a compass and, you know, give them a bag of flour and a cassette tape and say, go make this work. I'd see what they could do with it. It would be an interesting experiment because I do think that just because something is old, it doesn't mean it doesn't work, you know. And, you know, and obviously, Alan, do you still have any of those old cassettes? I think I remember you asking that question, but I don't remember the answer. But you must have had some of that, you know, gotten some evidence off those things. And I think I remember him talking about how they had to, it wasn't like today with all the digital media and the ocean of evidence we have. They really had to do a lot more testimony and, you know, manually putting the reports together and making sure everybody corroborated stories. And it was kind of more like a court. Like if you went to court and you had corroborating testimony, and that way you could sort out the truth. That's kind of how paranormal investigation was back then. Now it's much more digital, and you can see actually what happened. And you've got, you know, multiple evidence streams coming in, and you can do all kinds of neat things. Let's see. What do we got here? What's going on? You know, now we're talking about meditation. And we've got... yeah, two players and some old cassette, and we've got another. Mystic's making me hungry. She's talking about tomato slices. Okay, and Mystic's always in a constant meditative state. I wish I could do that. It's kind of that would be kind of neat to get into tonight. I think I am going to try to meditate, but not holding a tomato slice. Okay, I see. What are you guys talking about in here? You guys are actually doing readings, and so they're doing readings here as we're doing the show. And I see Spencer Hughes, my friend, my case manager, is out there listening in. Spence, if you want to call in, 646-478-0377. I'm kind of out here making this show work. I've missed the microphone. You know how it goes. You get off... you get off on a vacation and then you come back and you've been away from the studio and you just need to sit in the chair and do the job. You know, it feels good to do this. So I have been missing all of this. And with all the things going on, It's been something. Spence came over the other night and brought his two daughters over, and they had a great time, and we cooked dinner and had a nice evening where we just, while Dad was in the hospital, where we just had chatted around and had a great time and laughed and yucked it up here. So it was really sweet, you know, of him to do that and to bring his family and give us something. Karnak, the Ghost Finder. Spencer is sitting here saying, what is it? John, get Karnacki, the Ghost Finder on Kindle. It's a fictional character dating back to 1913, and it's a cool account of ghost hunting back in the teens of the last century. Cool, would call if I could. Oh, so he won't be able to make the call. Okay. Well, listen in, Spence, and we'll just go with that. I'm in a regular meditative music works for me. Hey, Cherry. Alan is waving at Spencer. Yeah, and for those of you who do not know Spence, Spence is the host of Fox Across America, and he is on the Fox News Radio website and also on their satellite channels there. He's also he also hosts for Tom Sullivan on KFBK out here in Sacramento, and when Tom is out for whatever reason, then Spence will step in, and so we get to listen to him. My folks always are complaining. They want me to get the computer set up in the house so they can listen to Spence off the Fox News site, so I got to get that done. I've been meaning to get that done, so we'll get that. Hi, Spencer. I saw you on John's video. Yeah, on my YouTube channel, I have my own YouTube channel, and if you go out to www.youtube.com/JAlmada, J-A-L-M-A-D-A, you will see Spencer and me and my father when he was a little bit healthier. He was saying some interesting words. That's all we're going to say. Even though I'm not required to follow the FCC seven words here on Blog Talk, I'm going to go ahead and do it. But it had to do with a certain part of a certain product of bulls. We'll leave it at that. So it was a really great video. I found that. I thought I had lost it, and it was just so classic. And Spence was laughing himself sick at what my father was saying. And Dad's kind of lost that ability to control his what he says. So sometimes the things that come out of his mouth is really interesting. But he was in fine form, and he was actually kind of knew what he was doing, and he was just going with it and enjoying it. So we had a good time. Let's see. Yeah, no, Spence, there was no stuntman. It was the real deal. Mystic is putting it right there, calling it just like it was meant to be. Okay, so Spence, what are you doing? You say, are you watching the kids? Is that what's going on? You're kind of trapped and you can't dial in, because I'm like dying out here. I've got to get a co-host out here. I need somebody to help me, because I jumped in and did this show on the spur of the moment after getting chided into it by my Facebook friend, and now I'm committed to doing some stuff. And Spence, Spence, maybe we can do kind of a, if you do the chat with me, I was telling everybody about the metal detecting, and Spence is into this with me too, metal detecting missions that we're planning. Spence, I don't know if you saw my post. Spence says, I wish this computer had EVP powers. I went ahead, Spence, and ordered an underwater capable mine lab. And I bought the Excalibur 2. And so you've got that ocean detecting one, and now I've got an ocean detecting model. So we're completely – we've got pretty much the same kind of setup. I'll be able to do – Mystics, pops in. Okay. Yeah, if you want to dial in now, I can sure use it. I need somebody just to go back and forth and baloney, shoot the baloney with here. The number is 646-478-0377, and I'm watching the lines. I'm my own producer, engineer, and all that. Spence hasn't made. He's got all these high powered Fox people doing it all for him. He just sits there and does his stick, and I'm having to do it all by hand here. Spence hasn't made. Spence goes, wow, man, you bought like new 12 new metal detectors. No, I've got two older ones I've had around for a while. I had two bounty hunters, and then I bought a, what was it? My first really halfway decent one was a Garrett Ace 250, and I outgrew that really fast. And then I bought a used Mine Lab Colt, and that turned out to be a lot of fun. And it's and I'm still using it. It's a great detector. Just when you just want to knock around and you're not looking to, you know, you're not looking to do anything with target IDs and all this advanced computer stuff, you can just fire this thing up and go. But I bought another Mine Lab. I bought the Explorer SE Pro, which is just an amazing piece of equipment. I mean, this is, it's such an amazing detector, I can't tell you. It does all of it for you. You just turn this thing on. You can program it to do different kinds of searching. And when you it has tones. And it sounds like a piccolo Pete when you use it, when you wave over different targets. And you learn how to detect what it's kind of, you know, picking up based on the sounds as it goes over. And it sounds it sounds kind of weird to say this, but you can actually hear the sound of money. You know, you can actually, you know, when you wave over, you can tell if it's a penny signal or you can tell if it's a dime. It has a particular kind of sound. And so it's kind of like the people that go out and do work on nuclear submarines, and they listen in, you know, on sonar, and they can tell you what something is just by the sound of it. That's how it is with these new detectors that people use. So, yeah, the Excalibur 2 is worth more than your house. Yeah, I paid a very large tax bill this year, and I decided that if I had to do that after I finally got that paid, and it was a whopper. I decided to get the credit card out and I bought the Excalibur. I just went, okay, if I'm going to be in debt, I might as well enjoy it. So I picked that thing up. Let's see, we've got two people dialed in. I've got the 616. Okay. 616, you're on the air.
Hello, John. It's Java.
Oh, hi.
Hi,
Java. How are you doing? Thank you for being my co-host.
You're more than welcome. I'm happy to do it. It's so fun. I love hearing your show.
Yeah, I've really missed doing it. I mean, it was such a shock when all this started going south here in December when I had the surgery, and everything's just been kind of, God, when can I get back to a normal schedule? And so it's just good to be back in the chair and in a warm building. I mean, with winter, trying to do shows out here in Studio A, it gets cold out here. And believe me, California can get cold. Trust me, it's not Southern California, man. We're not walking around all the time. It's just Northern California. We're living a friggin' Arctic here, okay? Let's settle this.
Oh, I know. I mean, especially where you are, because I know that I used to live down between Roseville and Sacramento, and my daughter had a house in the same county you have. So, and you're in El Dorado County, right?
Yeah, I'm in a little town called Shingle Spring. Oops, I typed something bad. And I was going to type LOL and I typed something else. Oh, God. Oh, no,
yeah.
I'm having a bad day. Anyway, I'm in Shingle Springs. It's an ancient little gold rush town. It was actually, at one time, it could have been the biggest city in California for Northern California, if it hadn't been for the railroad rerouting out to Auburn in the middle of all the gold rush stuff. So it turned into a sleepy little backwater thing. And I've been out here 30 years now, and we got an 7.2 acre ranch, and just love it here. But it's haunted.
Yeah.
We live on 100. Yeah.
Oh, it's
so.
Auburn. I love Auburn. That's a really haunted area for sure. I know my daughter's home was in Greenwood, and it was the original store that actually outfitted the gold rush, you know, people that went out for the gold rush. You know where Greenwood is, right? It's on the other side of the county from you?
Yeah, I know then. Is that like a is that a housing development or is it a
Oh, no, it's an
city?
old little town. It's a old, really small town. There's not much town to it at all. But
Yeah.
it's got cemeteries. And my daughter actually had the property that had the original store on it. It belonged to the whole property belonged to the man that owned that store. And he had a very interesting story himself. He built this house, made his fortune from all the gold rush people, did it for this girl that he left behind on the East Coast, made his money, built his home for her, brought her out. And they got married, and within a couple of months, he died. And the family just had tragedy after tragedy.
Oh my God. So that has happened so often here. I mean, there's on the way on I think 49 between Coloma going through to Auburn. There's a I'm trying to remember the name of this house. Oh geez, the name it totally escapes me at this time, but it was this big it was a very rich gentleman built this house that he had banked all his money on setting this up as a hotel, and it and he all but had it locked in that they were going to put the railroad right there. And it, Bailey yeah Bailey House Bailey House I think is the name.
Oh.
And what happened was he put all the money into it, and it was one of the most expensive houses west of the Mississippi. Put all this money into it, and then sure enough, the railroad was rerouted around him, and he got left high and dry, just like Shingle Springs. You know, we were just
Oh.
not. El Dorado County really sucked at getting people to stay, commit to what they were planning to do. But what
Wow.
ended up happening was that house is still standing, and they're trying to re renovate it. It's like a $3 million renovation. We went in there.
Yeah.
We were one of the few paranormal groups to actually get in there in some time, and we were allowed in. And my God, the EVPs just were, you know, outstanding. We got great stuff there. But now, Greenwood, I mean, have you done, is it haunted there? I mean, you
Oh,
know, are there.
yes. Oh, yes. They're cemeteries are built on the sides of hills, you know. It's very interesting how they do that in California. But when you're up in the mountains like that, you have no choice. But yeah, you can feel it. You can just feel it as you walk around there. You feel all the old spirits. You can feel oh my gosh, it's almost tangible. I don't even know how to describe it. It's like you're walking hand in hand with them on the same plane.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's what we have here. I mean, especially, you know, with the situation with my father, we've had a lot of stuff happening with not only family members coming in, but the spirits who were here before seem to, you know, they've kind of bonded with us, and we know them, and we actually have names for them, and we've, you know, things we've picked up, both mom and me. And different Spence left, and so is Talkstar. So they're taking off. Thanks to both of you. You guys are great. But we're going to continue on. But yeah, it's amazing how you can actually bond with some of these different spirits. And I think Alan would attest to this, that you can actually develop relationships with them over time if you keep investigating different places. So you definitely get a feel for the you know, for the energies that are there. And if you record them, you'll actually find out, you know, they actually know you, and will even call you by name. Scott, I think Scott Wise on one of the shows we had on just recently was talking about that, where they knew his name and were calling out to him, you know. But you know, you feel, you know, when you've been out there, you've felt that then.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's kind of like I grew up when I'm well. I didn't stay all the time at my grandmother's house, but I spent a lot of time growing up at my grandmother's house, and it was very haunted. There's never been a family member or even a stranger spend the night in that house without seeing lots of family members. And strangely enough, my grandfather built the home out of wood from a schoolhouse that had burned down.
Oh my God.
And yeah. But you never got anything weird like that. I mean, nobody got any weird stuff or any little kids they didn't know about. It was always family members. And I'm not even 100% sure that children died in that fire, but I'm pretty sure they did. But maybe that was just using that kind of wood help to facilitate an open door to spirit. I don't know. But past family members always came back in the flesh, not ethereal, but in the flesh, to the point that they could knock over things.
I know what you're talking about. It's funny. I haven't really talked too much about this, except on Facebook. I mentioned it briefly. We've been having all this stuff going on with Dad, and we've been seeing these energies, these kind of light-colored energies go flying by. I mean, and we both will be looking, and we'll see it together. Or, one of us will be casting our eyes out, generally in the living room or in the hallway or in the bathroom just across from our little den where we spend most of the time. And you'll see these energies go by, and Mom and me start comparing notes. And, ever since Dad has started having all these real big troubles started hitting, the activity has just gone off scale. I mean, it's been unreal.
Why?
But the one that got me was 2 days ago. Mom stepped outside, and I'd just gotten home, and I was just getting ready to go, change clothes. I was going to grab a shower quick and do my thing. And actually, I'd done the shower, and I was just getting ready to go grab clothes out of the laundry room. So I had a towel on, and I go scooting through, and I look, and there's a woman standing next to Mom, walking with Mom, and outside. And I thought, oh my God, we got a guest. I'm gonna grab my stuff real quick and head in and change in because she brings her in. So I did that. Mom comes in alone. I go, where's the gal that was with you? And she goes, what gal? And I go, there was a tall blonde woman next to you, about 3 feet to your left, and you were walking with her. Wasn't somebody from next door? And she goes, well, no. I go, was it anyone there? And she goes, no. And I went, oh my God. I mean, because I stopped and looked at this woman dead on, and I saw her from that she was had her back to me. Mm-hmm. And she was dressed in a spring dress that a woman, how Easter type clothing and spring wear that women would wear. That's what she was wearing. It was absolutely, I looked dead on at it. It was not like I and I'm not taking any drugs that are, I mean, you just see this and it's like you're looking like at a person. And, it's such a rare catch to have something like that. Usually you're seeing energies, but this was absolutely a full-on manifestation. And obviously somebody walking with Mom. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I felt like this person knew Mom the way she was walking, and what I thought they were doing was talking. She was walking right next to Mom.
Well, maybe she's cozying up to Mom all the time, so she feels like she knows her anyway.
we have a woman named Annie, we call her Annie, who we've actually believed that we found her grave 300 feet to my left in the studio right now is where we think she's buried. And we've actually gotten an EVP right as we were looking for it. She came up with this one saying, because my mother was doing the EVP work. And she, we get this woman's voice saying, you're right over me now. You're right over me.
Wow.
And so, I'm beginning to think this could have been her, that she, because she's appeared to us, and she's she's not super tall, but she's reasonably tall woman. And I've actually seen her once face on. And, but what was weird is the clothing that this woman was in kind of a modern spring print dress.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but we do have.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, women's clothing comes back and forth in all kinds of styles. Sometimes it's hard to tell, but I was just going to say that, you know, lately, John, it seems like everybody, or at least a lot of people, are experiencing the spirits more, and I mean just the last couple of weeks, experiencing them even more than they have in the last couple of years, how it's increased. It's like there's been a sudden jump in the last couple of weeks. And even I thought maybe it was just me because I've been very sick, and I just got back from the hospital the night before last, found out I had pneumonia. But
oh boy.
I thought, you know, when I'm really sick, I tend to see the spirits much more. And I can't explain that, except when I'm really sick, I do. And I have seen some things that I haven't seen in a long, long time. It's like I was sitting on the stairs. I locked my keys in the house, and I was waiting on a guy to come open up the door because I had to go get a prescription after coming home from the hospital.
Yeah.
And I saw this big white ball just, like, come toward me and go around behind me where I was sitting on the stairs. And I'm like, what? And I get up and I start looking for it, and I can't find it. And I was like, obviously that was some kind of spirit, you know.
Yeah.
And everywhere I look, I keep seeing them. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? Is there a convention I missed? You know?
I really do think that they go out of their way to comfort us, especially when you're under a time of stress. And that's, I mean, my mother has been so under the gun. You know, when you're dealing with somebody with real mental issues like what's going on with Dad, it's just awful. And and she actually has had a few medical issues of her own that she's really needing to deal with. And I finally got her to go see the doctor about it, and the doctor was just all over her to get it taken care of. And, you know, Dad's a full-time project. And, you know, the thing is with caregivers, especially like, your mate having to deal with all this stuff, is it's really hard on them. And so we've both noticed the uptick in the activity. And it's just like, you know, I go walking through the place and I feel like I've got people next to me half the time. You know, and especially after Dad's done something where he has really been, you know, jumped down my throat about the electricity, this thing that he has with me being, me being the evil progenitor of electrons.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, what was killing us is, you know, he was in, we took him up Sunday, not last Sunday, but the Sunday before is when this all started with the pneumonia. We took him up to emergency. I drove him up. And Mom in the front seat, and he's in the back, and he's just going crazy on us. And we get him there, and he's happy as a clam. He loves the hospital. That's his favorite place.
Aww.
And we get him in there, and they check it out, and sure enough, he's got viral pneumonia. So they said he can't go. So he's hooked up to, you know, all this equipment. He's got, you know, electromagnetic fields, you know, permeating every pore in his body. And he gets home a week later, goes to the door, and he immediately starts in about the electricity is poisoning the house. And I'm just going, what the hell? And then he's looking at me. I'm like, what am I going to do about it? I mean, you know, I don't know where the electrons are coming from. Hell, are Canada? I mean, are the Canadians coming from this? I don't know, but oh, my goodness. You know, but, you know, what's neat is the feeling that you know, God is with you, and you've got these angels. I really feel like some of these, you know, some of them are ghosts that are in spirits that have come over from the other side to be with us, like family. But I also think we have angels, and I think God himself, you know, herself, itself, the force, the big guy, is with us, you know.
Yeah.
And you just get that sense that there's something very special happening, you know. And that's the thing that's why I did the show tonight. I felt like I just needed to talk it out, you know, just talk it out. It's
yeah,
important.
Yeah, that's a good thing. It is important. That's why I'm here instead of in bed. Because, I mean, there's only so much laying down you can do. You need to talk to people, and I don't gonna want to go out and infect them while I'm sick. So.
Well, how now, you had the same thing, viral pneumonia? I mean, it just popped.
You know, they didn't say, they didn't tell me, and I didn't ask. But that's probably right. It probably is viral. But, yeah, you know, whenever I get down physically, my lungs are the first thing. That's my weakest part of my body. And you know, it's just been a tough winter. It's been really tough here. When it started going, we would get 80-degree weather, and then we get a snowstorm, and 80-degree weather, and then a snowstorm, bam, my lungs just got hit.
Yeah, it was the gallbladder thing when that hit, and I had a couple of bouts with the flu, but I got lucky. I mean, you know, for me, they just opened me up, zipped it out, and then I ended up with some Teflon where they found out I had a hernia. And that was actually the worst of my recovery, was not the gallbladder, it was the hernia. And my God, that hurt like a mother, for it to finally, you know, get over that. Because, I mean, the hard part about it was getting out of bed. You know, I'd have to roll over and let my legs just fall on the ground. And then when you'd go to stand up, it was like, oh, that special moment. Yeah, I was like, oh, goodness gracious me, I'm going to stand and, okay, you know, and then you just, you know, it finally got better. But it took about 2 weeks to get to the point where you could just get up and you would feel, you'd feel a pull on you, but you could move. But they want, especially after surgery, they want you walking, they want you standing up straight and moving around a lot, because you can end up with adhesions. So I was I was doing that. Yeah, my assignment was to walk around the house 6 times, twice a day. Yeah. God, I got to hate that trip. You know, I was very, yeah, and you couldn't go outside. It was raining and bad and all that. So you're just kind of like, okay. Frank is sitting here saying, "Is there time for some soul streaming EVP?" Which I think we could do if you wanted to. I haven't done this in a while. I think I'm set up for it. We've also got. A caller out there. Cherry is out there. I'm just going to bring her on just to pop the microphone. Hello, Cherry.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Cherry. Nice to meet you.
Are you Mystic?
Yes.
Hi, Mystic. Hey, John.
Hey.
You know, when you were talking about your family, your father and all that, you know, that just really brought right into the front of my head the vision of being in the hospital with my brother, who died March 1 year ago, and I was flown in. I was the only member not in the same state, so basically they were keeping him alive till I flew home. I mean, he was really dead, but they can artificially make you look like you're alive. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
Keep you on breathing tubes. He's dead, really. So I said, please don't do that. I'll be there as soon as possible. Don't keep that child alive. You know, let him go, please. But they didn't. They wouldn't. Anyway, so after they disconnected him, after I got there, you know, it was taking hours for him to go ahead and pass on his own. And finally, I just put my head up against the wall and just kind of was trying to catch a little Z's in the room. You know, just put my head against the wall. And I was taking some deep breaths. And I think I, you know, finally drifted off. And something like a rope is the best I can say. A rope. Something just pulled my head straight up. And I sat straight up and propelled me forward up off the air conditioning, you know, like the right by the window had they have the heater air conditioning unit in hospitals. That's what I was sitting on. Pushed me off that, and I threw myself down on top of him and screamed no and grabbed my mom's hand, and he passed.
Wow.
It was the weirdest freaking thing, and everyone in the room was like, oh my God, how did she do that? did she kill him? What? You know, and I'm going, I don't know what happened. I didn't do it, is all I can say, is I was propelled onto that bed. I knew. Something just did it for me. And I was like at the edge of his bed by his feet, and my head was by his knees, and I grabbed my mom's hand, who was right up by his head, and screamed no, and he passed. It was weird.
That is
bizarre.
That I've heard of things like this. I mean, where you know, family members just immediately sense that moment when that's about to happen. And
I was I was asleep though. And can I tell you one more weird thing? I mean, there's a gabillion weird things that happened to me. Just this morning, I've been waiting on the announcement for something for, 3 months. 2,000 of my friends get together every year, and we do a cruise together, and we're all like just dying. You know, when are they going to announce the tickets are on sale? And every day we log into the same site, and you know, we're just about giving up hope. Oh, they don't love us anymore. They're not going to, you know, sell tickets this year. This morning I had just went to sleep. I had a sleepless night last night. Finally, at 5 p.m., I drifted off. And that would have, you know, made my normal waking time around 2 in the afternoon. But at 7 a.m., shot up like someone pulled me up, and it was like a tattoo on my mind that I saw it. And it says, now I can't remember. It was so clear this morning, but it said, congratulations, Kimberly. Your booking is waiting for you. That's what it said on my mind. And I went, oh, my God. And I dashed to my computer, and it was word for word. Congratulations, Kimberly. Your booking is waiting for you. I couldn't believe it. Even though this happens to me all the time, every time it happens, it's like, I don't believe it.
That's neat.
Such a non-believer.
it's a miracle when that stuff happens, and you're it's like a part of yourself is out of body, and you know, when you when this stuff comes in, it's, you know, it crashes through to your conscious mind like that, and it's just like this little tap on the shoulder, like, hey, I'm here. This stuff is real. And it works.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the biggest. I wouldn't say I'm a skeptic, but what I am not is someone that says, hey, you know, I don't announce to people I'm psychic. It really is. If they only knew how sometimes it can mess with my relationships and my life, because I can know someone's intentions before they even know them. You know, like, seriously, do you know what I'm talking about, Mystic?
I do, and I am loving that you brought that up because, and this is short, I won't overstep what you're trying to say, but...
I'm done.
Lately it has come to my realization, and, you know, being 51, you would think I would have realized this earlier, but I didn't, that the reason so many people marry, end up in a successful marriage and a successful relationship, it is with someone that does the same thing that they do in their same field of interest or work or whatever, because people just don't understand each other anymore. I mean, and I can understand that now. I mean, it makes sense. I would definitely, because I think I could only have a successful relationship with someone who does basically the same things I do. Because people seem to really... and it's a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that people really seem to have to be so deep into what they're doing these days. People cannot be just generic anymore, happy-go-lucky. Things are serious.
Yeah.
You have to get serious. And so you need to be united with people of like mind. And so, yes, what you said makes perfect sense to me at this moment. Yes, it does.
Well, I'm glad someone could untangle that. Well, anyway, John, yeah, I'm really more to listen tonight. I totally empathize with you being a nurse. I know that illness and age, when you put those two things together, it's a collision course for hell. I mean, that person no longer has the ability to untangle the neurotransmitters. They get all messed up. And so when he thinks he's getting electrical bombardment, in truth, he is, and his neurotransmitters are haywire right now. So in truth, he's kind of trying to probably tell you, I'm feeling electricity, and actually it's the neurons firing off in obscene manners in his brain. So, so the truth
exactly.
is, he's going haywire, my friend, and my heart goes out to him because he can't explain that. He doesn't know what the hell is happening.
It's been amazing because it's been a sharp, sudden set of things that have happened in the last 3 months. I mean, it went... He had a what's called a transient ischemic attack, a TIA.
Yes.
And it was right after that. After that TIA hit, it came on with a vengeance. And he had little things like this, and he would slip in and out, but it was like only a day or two, and then he'd be out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's full time. I mean, it's just all the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, the stroke hit it hit the midline, to both frontal lobes and the language center. And he still has, maybe 20-30% speech.
Yeah.
So it's just trying to get him to to tell us what's happening.
There's no way.
It's a real challenge. And but when he gets ticked off, boy, he lets you know it.
Well, just to be honest, that tends to run in old age people, especially if they're prone to Alzheimer's or any type of, as my daughter says, old-timers disease. We all will, most people will start thinking this way, especially during illness. That's just a natural thing. It's part of what, marching towards that big gate in the sky, the mind. It's just a bundle of stuff, the infection, the stroke, and old age. There you have it,
Right. Plus, John, didn't he work around a lot of, high voltage electrical current kind of things in his life?
Well, he was a very talented scientist. He made his reputation on... doing really dangerous missions and things that working with materials that you had to be almost a little bit off your rocker to begin with. But he caught a his signature thing was he caught a design flaw on the service module engine for the Apollo program and got into a huge fight with a bunch of PhDs, and here he was, he didn't have near the credentials these guys did. And he proved his point after getting a lot of high-powered help from friends of his in the Pentagon. And they really forced the issue for a re-look at the design. And sure enough, if they had gone forward with the old way of doing it, would have blown the whole ass end off that spacecraft. So and it could have got some guys killed. I mean, so that's the kind of stuff he did. And it was high pressure, high risk, really powerful stuff he was up to.
Well, definitely. What, Cherry? I'm sorry. Is your name Cherry? It's actually Cherry.
My real name is Kim, but Cherry is my. I was a radio DJ. You know what? I actually had a show on Blog Talk Radio a couple years ago. I played music, and my DJ name is Cherry's Thorn. So. I just never changed it. Oh, thanks. It fits me perfectly, too. Redhead. Anyway, really. Something John just said. I don't know. What were you asking me, Mystic? I'm such an airhead.
I was just going to say, what you said was just brilliant because I'm also a nurse. I don't work as a nurse. But, I could talk to nurses for 100 years, and they don't make the kinds of connection that you did. That just shows you how important it is for, intuition is important in every field, and I think especially in the healthcare field. You made a really brilliant point, connection there for John with his dad. Plus, you know, what I was thinking too, probably on top of it, is that mixed with his memories of his work and all that power that was around him.
I was just going to add that. Thank you. You jogged my memory, John. Can you imagine for a minute as we progress in our own life when we are unable to take what we know and put it out into words? How angry will you be when nobody knows that you want a glass of water, that you don't want to sit outside, and you're trying to say it, but your mouth won't let you? This brilliant man who could save people from going to the moon in a shoddy design can no longer tell his son, honey, my brain ain't working. It feels like electrical currents, and he's mad at you because you can't fix it.
Yeah. I can understand it. It's the thing is when you come home from work and you walk in the door and you don't know what you're gonna face.
That's horrible.
I literally when I drive, turn in the driveway, I sit there and I think, okay, what's it gonna be today? Am I gonna get Jekyll or Hyde, you know, and you just don't know. And today I was like, I gritted my teeth, came through, and you know, luckily he had a better day today, you know, but it's hard on everybody, you know. And this is the part, you know, for all of the psychic and mediumship stuff I do and connection to spirit, the dying part is proven to be a real pain in the ass. I'm finding the whole thing. I mean, I look at it and I think, God, why is it so hard?
I'll tell you why. Can I tell you something? Well, I can't tell you why, but I can tell you exactly what my lightning bolt is, what I call it, when a thought comes that isn't mine. Death and birth is exactly the same. A young mother gets this child and feels the same feelings. The baby's crying. You don't know what to do. What's it going to do next? What do I need to do next? There's no instruction books. And it's like you fly by the seat of your ass. I was afraid to sleep with my newborn because I was afraid she'd cry when I was in the shower or when I was sleeping. And now, you know, on the other hand, someone's dying. What are you supposed to do? You don't know what to do. Are they going to hit my mom? He doesn't know what he's doing. Is he going to fall? If I'm not there, can my mom handle him? You know, should we put him in a home? That's not nice. And so all these social things, you know, plus the emotional things, plus the death thing, you know, it's a lot, John. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's been. I would say that we've done more powerful living in 3 years with all of this, you know, than all of the time before. It's been memories that I just, both good and bad and ugly, you know, it's all mixed together, but I'm glad I've been here for all of it. You know, paradoxically, I mean, I'm glad I've been there to see it all, to see it through the whole.
Wow.
You know what you just said?
You know what you just said? I heard what you didn't say. The good, the bad, the ugly, some of the stuff that he's doing reminds you of everything you didn't like about him. This is a healing thing, too. This is the time to dig up that energy from when you were 10 that you hated his guts and look at it.
Yeah, it's let us come to terms with saying goodbye.
Yeah,
and to look at all the things, forgive and all that. Even though this part sucks, you know, with the, you know, I'm the electron king right now. I just look at it and I see it for what it is, but you know, I'm glad I've got him today in body, but you know, Mom and I were talking about it the other day, and it's like she's going, what's going to happen when he's gone? And I said, well, then we'll do the mediumship stuff, and she's a medium too. And I said, well, he'll make himself known to us, Mom. I mean, what else will we do? This is what we are about, and you know, he will come through.
Was he a medium?
No, Dad is the original skeptic. If you can't see it, it doesn't exist. And he did some pretty interesting work in the military, but and he said a couple of times. He said a couple of things to me once that he said, oh, yeah, that's surreal, but you have to have a lot of equipment to do that. And I'm looking at him going, but the last time you worked with that was in the 60s. It's all gotten better.
That's fun.
So he kind of tacitly acknowledges it, but I found out later what he was worried about was for my career as a scientist myself, that he was worried it would put a stain on my career. Well, I'm 51 years old. I'm not, I don't give a rat's ass what people think. I'm the one experiencing this stuff, and I'm having to figure out, just like, you were saying before, there's no instruction manual for all this stuff. You're figuring it out. Yes, there's a scientific community, and yes, there's, you have to follow, the conventions and all that. But the bottom line is, you don't have to follow that. What you do as a scientist is you weigh all the evidence and look at it in front of you and say, what's happening here?
Yeah.
And I've seen too many things, too many times the other side's come through, and too many times I've seen spirits, too many times I've had frigging, stuff whisper in my ear, and I've heard it.
Right.
And I'm not
right.
Frantic.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just going to go with the flow and enjoy the process, and that's where I'm at. But I mean, it's, I think the thing to test you, that really tests your ability to be a medium, is watching people that you love die.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that has been a real eye-opener to me. And I'm going to write about it. I'm going to write some articles about some of the stuff I've seen, mainly from a stroke perspective, the things that they don't tell you, and you learn, they didn't tell us that, by the way, they're going to have, they're going to complain about smells a lot.
Right.
and they're going to tell you that you stink, and you're going, I just washed. And,
right.
And it's not that. It's their brain that's firing. It's
right.
Nothing that you've done.
Right.
And you're exactly right on. I mean, it's the emotional part when you're away from them where you're going, oh, Christ, what's next? You don't know, and that's
right.
The hard part. And
there's
you have to give yourself permission to feel it, Just suck it up. So I'm sorry.
You know what I found? And I know this is going to be out there probably for most people, so take it or leave it. It's not going to hurt me either way. But I found that once you've really had to deal with death face-to-face in life, in other people or people you love or whatever, it makes dealing with loss of other things much easier, and with those things that we need to put to death within ourselves, those
mm-hmm.
things that are not serving us in a good
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to do any of that. It's hard to let go. It's hard to lose. And it's hard to put to death those bad things that are within us. I don't want to say bad, but, maybe it's bad for us because it's not serving us properly.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to put those things to bed, to just lay them to rest when we haven't had to face death on a personal level.
You're basically saying letting go, and I understand.
Yeah.
It is a letting go, and I heard, let go of anger, jealousy, hatred, bad habits, people, thoughts.
Yeah. People.
And the truth of the matter is, if you do find yourself getting all caught up in the, I'm going to miss them, I'm going to whatever's, the truth of the matter, and for my truth anyway, I don't know John's truth, but I can't speak for anyone else. I have to tell you, for me, I am closer to my brother than I've ever been. And for the first time ever, I can get a word in. And it's the truth.
Oh, God.
I know. It's awful truth. It's an awful truth. But you had to have, you would have had to known my brother.
God.
You would have had to know him. It's a family joke. I mean, we can finally talk to him. Anyway, and we don't even know if he's listening. But we've decided that he brought a little list to God of corrections. So he was a doctor, and so uber analytical, uber ADHD, and I have a kick thinking about him up wherever it is. All around, with his little clipboard analyzing everything and making his corrections. So, anyway, I get to talk to him now, and, he's too busy. And
Tell me, when was his birthday?
He was at birth. He was born on Christmas Day.
He was Capricorn. Oh, my dad was born the day after Christmas. Okay.
Yeah. Was a Capricorn. Anyway, so, you know, anyway, that's my story on this particular death. But you're right, Mystic. Part of me woke up spiritually, and I tapped into that letting go and letting feeling, you know, instead of running from them.
Yes.
You know, yes. I'm able to hold them for a minute and go, you know, this is, I even give them colors. Oh, this feeling feels, you know, gray or whatever. You know, I'll try to analyze how heavy it feels. Oh, this is like 5 pounds or.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, if you really stay with it, you can even give it a name, a pet rock name. Oh, man, that one felt like a Henry. You know, you're not running from it. You're not running from it, and you're going to experience it, and then that's when you can heal it.
Yes, and you said another very important thing, which I find, because I teach a lot of classes, and I've kind of slowed down this winter, but the last couple of years I have, like, taught nonstop, and I needed a break. But it's very hard for me sometimes to get people to understand the opposite of love is not hate, it's fear.
Yeah.
And the opposite of letting go is running away. It isn't holding tight.
Mm-hmm.
People have a really hard time with those because the world teaches us something different. And we know the world system doesn't work, so they need to just let it go anyway.
That's right. Well, what do you teach? Can I ask? What are you teaching?
Oh, I always teach different spiritual classes. Whatever.
Oh, spiritual.
People come to me and say, could you teach us this? And I'm like, well, let me see. And, you know, then I'll consult the spirit and figure out if I can put it together as a class, and then I'll teach it.
That is very cool because I've never taken any classes. I was just picked up a card. I went and got me some chakra rocks and bracelets because the book I bought that I'm learning chakras and stuff said I should surround myself with the chakra color that I'm working on. So anyway, I picked up a business card as someone that teaches stuff. So I thought, oh, maybe I should go take some spiritual classes. So that's my next thing.
They're great. I love it. I love teaching and I love taking them.
Cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
Anyway, John, I'm going to hop off because I want to listen. I just talk.
So, no problem. Kim, thanks for coming on, and you made me feel better. You're right on the money. I mean, his brain's just firing off and doing all kinds of weird stuff. So, but I'm just glad to, you know, I'm just glad it's all happening the way it is, and I'm just glad I've got good people come on the show and are willing to help me understand it.
Two nurses, John. Look what you just manifested. Come on now, you know.
Yeah.
Your hands and ours brought two nurses into your life, okay? there you go.
All right, well, thank you for coming up.
I'm going to stay in the chat room. Bye, Mystic. I'll see you in the room.
Okay, nice to meet you.
Okay.
All right. You want me to just put you on hold, Kim? She just hung up. Okay.
Awesome.
She's a great lady. I really like her. She's got a great radio voice, just like you. I mean, just made to do it. You know, do the on air stuff. So, do you have your own show, Mystic?
Yeah, I have a couple of times here on Blog Talk, but I have more fun being a guest, so I don't do a lot of shows. But a long time ago, I actually did radio. Yeah, some guy decided that I had a good radio voice, so he got me to do a radio show on his station, and I did that for about a year and a half, something like that. It was a lot of fun.
Wow. My dad was a radio announcer. He had my grandfather owned two radio stations out in Missouri, and then he bought into a San Francisco radio station. And so my father was kind of the boss's son. He could do whatever radio he wanted. So my dad actually ran his own shows. And then he did voiceovers for the defense industry, and I've done voiceover for the defense industry. You know, my company would call me in and say, "You've got a great voice. Let's just use you for the videos." And so I would go in and do voice work for them, and kind of fell to that. So the XRB 5000 has destroyed the enemy installation and done a great job, and blah blah blah. So. It was a lot of fun, but, you know, I never thought I'd be doing the Blog Talk stuff, and it's just been the best time of my life doing this and learning how to, you know, set up studios and all that stuff, and then work out the, you know, all the spiritual stuff we do and all that. I've had a great time with it, so I'm just glad that people show up when I do an impromptu show like this, so thank you for doing this. It's deeply appreciated.
Oh, my pleasure. I was going stir crazy looking at the four walls, thought being able to sleep, you know, 24 hours straight. Because basically I can't do much of anything. I'm very weak still, but, you know, I can come listen to Blog Talk.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be on again tomorrow night. I'm going to go ahead and schedule a show and and Frank, I saw your thing about doing a soul stream. I'll do a regular soul stream show tomorrow, right about 9:30, I think, is when I'll schedule it, 9:30 Pacific. So we'll be doing another show. This one, we'll be doing the normal format, which will be the the EVP on air. And I'll be doing some, mediumship readings, things like that. So I'm going to meditate tonight, get back into my regular groove and just jump back on the horse and keep going. And we'll talk about anything and everything. So, you're welcome to co-host with me if you want to dial in and I'll pop you on.
Okay. Well, then, what time are you going to do it?
9:30 Pacific, so it'll be just like what we just did tonight, 24 hours now. So we'll do that, and then, and Frank, I will definitely make you number one on the runway if you come in. We'll put you on there, and we'll do it, because Frank is a great guy. He's a very smart individual, and very into a lot of interesting things, and it's always interesting to hear what he has to say. So, and his questions are always penetrating to the other side. So I'm sure we'll get some great answers when we do the on-air EVP. And then I'll do some readings for anybody who calls in too. So, I'm just looking forward to getting back into it. And anyway, hey, well, you know what? We're coming up on 3 minutes. Would you like it if everybody said a little prayer for you to get your lungs better?
I certainly wouldn't turn that down. Thank you.
Okay. We will definitely put it out there for Mystic to get her lungs to heal, for everybody to, if you could all just, take a moment tonight before you go to bed and just visualize her lungs getting better. Definitely we'll work on improving that part for her, so she's not trapped in the four walls. But we will also invite her to come back and be on the show. And I just really think you're a great co-host. So the door's open to you anytime.
Well, thank you. I enjoy it. Thank you, John. You do a great show.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And so this impromptu soul stream is coming to a close. I'm going to go up and check on parents. Now that I'm a caretaker myself. But this is Soul Stream, and we're going to go ahead and wind it down. We've got Cherries Thorne, that's her stage name, and her real name is Kim the Nurse. And we got Frank out there with his apple. Good to see you. Guest 37930 and 38260, you're from France. We see you guys. Holistic Life Designs, and Mystic is my co-host tonight. So thank you to you, all of you, for being here tonight. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio Soul Stream. Going to be signing off, and we'll play a little bit of Enigma to take us off here. So thanks a lot for listening in, guys, and God bless. Take care, all of you. And thank you for being here tonight on our impromptu show. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio.
Troops is filmed on location with the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?